This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. Show is on tomorrow, by the way, on Thanksgiving. It's a best of show. Best interviews, best back and forths with all of us. And it's from 3 to 7, so enjoy us while you enjoy your Thanksgiving day. And then on Friday, right after the Ranger game, so right around, what, 4:30-ish?
Yeah, I would say 4:30.
4 o'clock-ish, something like that. Don will take over and do the entire show himself, leading right up into the Knick game. So we got you covered over the Thanksgiving holiday. Tomorrow, a best-of show, 4 hours of the greatest things during the year, and then Don, a live show on Friday. Right now, we bring in our good friend Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, and he's going to break down some stuff for us here on the show. Dan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. In advance, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're doing well.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. Good to be with you guys. Hope you're good as well.
Dan, how'd your toe get like that?
Oh, my God. Well, and why are you proud of it?
Why did you do that? Why did you show us that?
Okay. Well, this is the cold, hard truth, boys. So both my toes are like that because when you're an unathletic quarterback, your feet don't get out from underneath the center fast enough, and that right. is from those toes getting stepped on with, dude. I don't know, guys wear half-inch to three-quarters-inch cleats, and they're 300 to 330 pounds, and so those toes have been stepped on by offensive linemen who step back, 100 times, and so my both of my big toenails are dead.
Do they hurt?
They have moments. But not outrageously. No, it's not fungus. Well, I've had it looked at all that. It's just they're just dead.
Well, as much as it may hurt you, it really hurt us to see it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't answer the question as to why you showed this.
He's a truth teller. That's
well,
why.
I mean, yeah. I can't allow Aaron to just kind of, hey, look at I've got a fractured pinky toe.
Right. It was a hold my beer moment. You got it.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure, he's not the only one in the struggle.
All right, so Dan, I want to throw this at you. Yesterday, all the giant failures come down on Jason Garrett. And, I've been reading up on him where he's supposedly a very unimaginative offensive coordinator. He was with Dallas. He was last year. Yeah. But that's all I read. I want to know from you, a guy who looks at the tape and breaks it down, is he not a 2021 offensive coordinator? And do you think the Giants' struggles are mostly on him?
No, he is absolutely not up to the times when it comes to football. And, yeah, he shares a great deal of the offensive struggle blame. I mean, you guys know I've come on this show for 3 months now talking about this. I think Jason's a great dude. I've sat and had talks with him. You never want someone to lose your job. It's a high-intensity business and high-expectation business. He'll land on his feet because he's that well-respected. I broke it down to three different ways that I think specifically Jason failed. One, a lack of creativity. And when I say creativity, I'm talking pre-snap motion or after snap motion. The Giants under him have been in the bottom five when it comes to usage. That we're just in a different time in the NFL. We have been for about 3 years with that. So lack of creativity, lack of evolution. How are you going to evolve your offensive philosophy from 10 years ago when you were with the Dallas Cowboys? Different formations, more use of the RPO, the quick game passing, the vertical shots in your play action game. There was no evolution within the offense. And then development. And there was a significant lack of development from Daniel Jones under his tutelage. And it's a results-based business, guys, and we know that. I've talked extensively of how I feel he uses people poorly. Outside of that Carolina game, he failed to use his guys the right way. And do I think that this is just a try to, kind of a Band-Aid, so to speak? Absolutely. I just think this is the first step in what seems to be the inevitable, but it's kind of predictable in the NFL.
Well, what I'm hoping for, Dan, as a Giant fan, is that whether it's Freddie Kitchens, whether it's Joe Judge, whoever it is that takes over the play calling, that we try to find out what we can in these next seven games with Daniel Jones to know whether you give him that fifth-year option. Do you think that at least that opportunity will present itself better than if they had stayed with Garrett the rest of the season?
No, I mean, because I think, I mean, eventually a body of work is a body of work. You know, I've done so back and forth with Daniel this year. You know, Daniel had me, again, people know where I stood the moment they drafted Daniel. I thought it was nuts. And he's had some, you know, good moments. And this year you go, okay, Daniel's starting to play better. And it looks like he's maybe not being so careless with the football, so panicky with the football. And if the season ended today, I'm going to move forward with Daniel. I feel good. And then all of a sudden, those same habits start to creep back in. And you're going, why? Why? And I've said this about Daniel before. Like, he's not dynamic and explosive and, you know, special enough for you to overlook that interception from Monday night. The first one, you're going, dude, what in the God's green earth are you doing with the football? And, you know, I've said I wish he would play as smart as he is. So I think that what they're trying to do is, you know, essentially as an organization or coaching staff, throw the Hail Mary. You know, listen, a lot of times when coaches, head coaches, fire coordinators within the season, they're trying to save their own jobs.
Right.
You know, they're trying to, you know, strike lightning in a bottle. Freddie had some success in this role a couple years ago in Cleveland. There would have to be a significant improvement in both play individually at quarterback and offensively for, you know, any organization, specifically the Giants, to go, yep, you know what, these six or seven games erased all the doubts that we had about this coaching staff and this quarterback.
Can you, though, we've gone back and forth on this for about a week on the show. Can you, as an organization, bang another head coach? It would be four coaches now in 7 years. At some point, you got to stick with something and ride it out. 2 years. I mean, if you fire some, I've always said this, Dan, I don't know if you agree. If you fired somebody in 2 years, then you made a mistake in hiring him. You made the wrong move.
No doubt.
You're probably going to make the wrong move again.
Yeah, no doubt, Mike. So I think this is a two-part thing. So I think the Giants, first question is going to be organizationally what they do with Dave Gettleman, the general manager. Because if you say, okay, Dave, we believe in you, you've done a good enough job, you keep your job. Well, then the next question is, well, what do we do with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley? Because if you say we are moving on from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, you cannot say the general manager has done a good job.
Right.
Okay, you just can't. Both of those things cannot happen at the same time. So let's say we are going to get a new general manager. Well, then he has to sit down and go, Joe Judge, you weren't my hire. Do I want to keep you? And my pushback to it would be this. I agree. I hate the cyclical aspect of fire, rehire, fire, re. But Joe Judge was hired with the belief that we are going to be a tough team. We are going to be a well-coached team. We are going to be a team that represents the city. And we are going to be a team that does not beat ourselves. You guys tell me, Giants fans tell me, in the last 2 years, has any of that shown itself? No. The great majority of this time, this team has made critical mistakes, they've had critical penalties, and they seem poorly coached. So, again, I'm not, like, people get so mad when I say, well, you got to move on from a coach. But when a coach comes in and says, I can't, here's my analogy, I can't sit there and say week one, the Bears need to move on from Matt Nagy because that game plan was a disaster. You either are incapable or it was on purpose because you are an offensive mind. And then go, well, no, you know, we'll keep Joe Judge when he came in and said X. You know, like, he came in and made it very clear what they were going to be about, and they haven't been about that.
Now, the Jets will play with Zach Wilson, and three quarterbacks have actually played pretty well under this system since LaFleur went up to the press box. So what can I expect out of Zach Wilson after getting a chance to see, you know, Flacco throw for 290, Josh Johnson throw for three touchdowns and 300 yards, and what Mike White did? Can I expect more now from Zach Wilson?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Zach's performance should take a step forward two different reasons. You know, he got to sit back and watch. You know, he got to sit back and say, this is what it should look like. This is what it shouldn't look like. Oh, when you get this kind of play versus this kind of defense, that doing this with the football is actually a good decision. So the opportunity to sit back and just watch some stuff, you know, and learn from just the visual aspect of it, absolutely. I also think Michael Fleur, I don't want to say is starting to settle in, but Mike seems to be better over the last month or so than he was in the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. So the combination of the coordinator, you know, first time on the job, seemingly getting a little bit better feel for stuff, and the young quarterback having the opportunity to watch, yeah, you should expect a step up in performance from Zach Wilson. You should want Zach Wilson over the next 6 or 7 weeks to really start to come on. You know, there's, if you look at these young quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence has had moments when he's really started to come on and play good football. Obviously, Mac Jones is playing to a different level. Justin Fields has had these moments. You want Zach to start to have a moment, a stretch of games where you start to go, yeah, you know, we're starting to feel good about his performance, because if you start to see that, again, we know what this season was organization going into it, but if you start to see that, you just momentum, feel good, like those are real things when it comes to a young quarterback.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Talking with Dan Orlovsky, his weekly segment. Before we let you go, Dan, you're a grilled chicken guy, so do you do anything exotic on Thanksgiving, or is it just plain stuff?
No. Yeah, I'm pretty simple, man. I don't eat turkey on Thanksgiving. I think it's an absolute waste of belly space. If I want turkey, I can go to Jersey Mike's on Friday and smash a number 7, but I'm a big side guy, so stuffing, sweet potato casserole, mashed potatoes, I'll get a heavy dose of that, but I think turkey on Thanksgiving is a waste of my belly space, man.
Do you like pie?
Yeah, I smash at least, you know, like, I don't know if I have a piece of pumpkin pie and apple pie, one of each at least. I'll probably dabble in a second, but probably end up being 2 pumpkin pie, 1 apple pie.
There you go. A little vanilla ice cream on the apple pie or no?
Yeah, I'm more of a whipped cream guy. Like, I'm more of a natural, homemade whipped cream thrown on top.
Wow.
My mother cooks, and she's she's like a very detailed human being. So she's a very good cook when it comes to like following recipes. So she's really good at it. So natural homemade whipped cream on top of the apple pie. And then I will say this. I think like if you want to tell me day after turkey on sandwich on Friday or Saturday, I can mess with that. But turkey on Thanksgiving Day, I just think it's silly.
So you don't even have a main meal on Thanksgiving. You just have the sides. It's not like you go to ham or.
Nope. Wow. Strictly sides. Strictly. It's the only day of the year that I'll eat stuffing, mashed potatoes, and sweet potato casserole. Like, again, I could eat turkey any day of the week when I go get a sandwich. So.
Interesting. Well, you have a great Thanksgiving, Dan. Yeah. We've enjoyed having you on. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You guys as well.
You got it. This portion of the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by the Pepe Auto Group. Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. You know what's coming up next, right, guys?
Pick I know
segment.
It.
The I pick got it segment. Right here. Yeah, on a Wednesday, a Thanksgiving Eve pick segment. Boy, it's close. Mm. It's very close. These picks are so important now. They've never been more important. Well, now find out what they are.
They'll be more important in a few weeks, but yeah.
Well, up to this point, they've never been more important.
No, that's true. Most important this season.
No, right. this is week one of important.
This is moving a week again.
Yeah.
Anyway, come back and move with us as we see exactly who we pick. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.